Oh, congratulations, man.
To the class of 2017, this city isn't for everybody. The lights shine brighter here. On these streets, life moves a little faster. The media, they're going to write about you. Fans, through thick and thin, they're always going to have your back. Is there pressure? You better believe there's pressure.
The New York Jets select Marcus May.
Are you going to run from it? Are you going to embrace it? Welcome to the greatest city in the world.
Intercepted. Jamal Adams. Dumped for a loss. Marcus May.
Well, let's do it.
Buckle up.
Selecting sixth tonight. That's the New York Jets as we head on up to Florham Park, New Jersey, and check in with Kimberly Jones.
Well, I had a chance to talk to General Manager Mike Maccagnan. He said we've spent a year investing ourselves in this draft, and now perhaps in rapid fire, they're going to have to make a decision. Move up, move down, take those phone calls they're getting, make those phone calls, or stay at number six.
What a night and a scene in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Incredible. And the fans, over 70,000 strong. I'm looking at your top players available, Mike. Jonathan Allen, 2. Adams, 3.
It was a little reminiscent of 2015 when we drafted Leonard Williams at the 6th pick. This year, when we did a lot of our pre-draft preparation work, we always kind of saw Jamal kind of going a little bit ahead of us. There's a few situations where he fell to us. So we really didn't expect that one to happen. We kind of thought somebody earlier on would have picked him up.
Who will it be for the New York Jets? Here comes the commissioner with the pick.
Hey, Jamal, it's Mike Maccagnan. How you doing?
New York, George. Back in New York.
I mean, I can't tell you how excited I am that you're going to be part of this organization going forward. You're going to be amazing.
Hopefully so.
Jamal Adams, LSU, DB, Louisiana State, turning the card in. Card is in.
Jamal. Ebron, how you doing, man? Oh, let's do it.
Sorry, I'm ready, baby. Let's do it.
The New York Jets select Jamal Adams, defensive back, LSU.
Well, for me, it's not even close. Number one player I had in this draft was Jamal Adams out of LSU. I love the fact that he's going to the Big Apple. He is a wrecking machine. He's versatile. He can play in the post. He's a great one-on-one tackler. He's an inspiring leader and a real quality person. This is a huge pick for the Jets.
Jets fans, Jamal Adams checking in. I just want to say I appreciate everything.
So has it sunk in? All the hard work, all the hours finally paying off. Welcome to the NFL.
It's unreal. You know, you put so much work in, you know, at a young age. You say?
It's amazing. Everything absolutely.
I feel good. I'm proud to be a Jet. And it was the best feeling ever.
Jets fans, I'm on my way to Jersey, leaving Philly. Dream come true. Looking forward to seeing you guys.
At number six, the Jets. Again, Jamal Adams just falls into their lap. A lot of people think he's the best player in the draft and brings sort of a winning character about him. So this, to me, was a slam dunk.
I appreciate it. I definitely felt that connection when I came up here maybe about 2 weeks ago. And, you know, the guys told me in a joking manner, you know, we don't see you slipping a six. But if you're at six, we're definitely going to get you. They kept their word. And all I can do is keep mine when I say I'm going to come in and, you know, just earn the respect of my coaching staff and my teammates. And just keep my head down and grind.
No.
Good to see you.
I appreciate you.
How are you doing, man?
I'm good now.
Jamal was a player we thought very highly of. We thought he was both a good player in the run and passing game. We do a lot of research on these players from an intangible standpoint, from a character standpoint, because really you're adding not just the player on the field in terms of his ability, but you're adding that personality to your building, to your locker room, to your community. We felt he was really a kind of an exceptional guy from a character standpoint. Not only his work ethic, his passion for the game, you see that on the field when you watch him play. His energy on the field, you watch his energy on the sideline.
We celebrate, we talking mad noise. Mad noise. Straight like that, man. Go swag.
The past 24 hours has been a dream. It honestly still hasn't hit me yet, but it's so real. But I'm very thankful and I'm honored to be a Jet.
This Jet Life feature was brought to you by Municipal Credit Union. Top three countdown. Top undrafted players in Jets history. Number three, Bruce Harper.
I think any team would want to have a Bruce Harper. He was so fast. He could explode.
You talk about maximizing a skill set and really deploying him in a way that is perfect for his build and his talents, and I think that's what Bruce Harper represents.
Shifty kind of guy, strong but shifty. You don't really say that about a bigger guy.
He just had that great burst, but he was a football player with it. He could do everything. He could take those great physical speed skills and apply them on the field, and that's why he was so dangerous.
Small guy that was so unstoppable on special teams.
He was able to really come in there and do some great things. And, you know, special teams is a big part of the game. Sometimes it's not as appreciated enough, but he did such a great job of doing it.
After the break, the rookies arrive in Florham Park and hit the field for the first time.
Going out there, first NFL practice yesterday, you know, that's pretty surreal.
Each day getting ready for work because you know now it's a job and you know this is what we do and this is how we're going to go about our plan as far as you know just getting W's.
I think the thing that separates me is my ability to you know high point balls in my hands. I think I have a lot of confidence in my ability to catch you know any ball that's thrown to me, and so I think that's my biggest attribute.
No, I feel like, you know, I can communicate real well. Like I said, I can feel like I can get along with the guys, and I feel like that's important. The fact that I can play multiple positions, a lot of special teams, you know, so I feel like, you know, just being that guy that can do a lot of different things back on the back end is what helped me out.
You know, I'm just one of those physical guys, man. I've been like that since Little League, so I feel like I can bring that to the table. Take the top off the defense, you know, do a lot of things and to help this team.
Me and Coach Green have something in common. You know, he had a high motor, and that made a lot of success for him, and I think he'll do the same for me, and I think he sees a little bit of himself in me.
I've been running the ball and catching the ball out the backfield, so I definitely see myself as a dual threat, as running and receiving.
I'm a long corner. I can run. So I try to touch most people before they can try to touch me. So my lean act helped me a lot.
You know, I just got to honestly get better at every aspect. I mean, if it's blocking or route running or anything like that, I got to improve on all of it.
So to have this opportunity, it's amazing. I didn't think I was going to get picked up. So I was like, I'm still recovering from the ACL. But the fact that they believed in me, you know, it just makes you want to go hard for them.
Going out there, first NFL practice yesterday, looking at the Jets logo on my helmet, so, you know, that's pretty surreal. Whoever it is, no matter what their story, their first practice is probably going to be pretty crazy, and I think that's, you know, sitting at home thinking about it, it's pretty cool.
Jet season ticket holders, enter code MAY2017 into your Jets rewards portal and earn 100 points for watching this episode of Jet Life. Top 3 countdown.
top undrafted players in Jets history. Number 2, Victor Green.
Victor Green would hit you. Now, he'd knock your head off. He'd knock your teeth out.
He was a fearless hitter.
And the hole would open up. Pow!
He seemed to always be around the ball. He just seemed to be a guy that was always making plays.
People, I think, could have seen him maybe a little bit more as a linebacker than as a safety. But he had skill. He could run. Chest,
baby. To have a career, double-digit years in his career, and how productive he was at the safety position. Also played in the box, almost like a linebacker at times. Was extremely physical.
Green was an excellent tackler, great leader. You know, he played the pass reasonably well, but I think his hits and his leadership are the two things that stand out to me.
Victor had a pretty astonishing career for someone who they didn't think was good enough to draft in the NFL.
Coming up next, General Manager Mike Maccagnan breaks down the Jets' 2017 draft class. And who is the top undrafted player in Jets history? Find out next.
Reason he wasn't drafted? I don't know. I don't know. I'd have been fighting for him. I bet on that.
Mike, before draft weekend, you had 7 picks in all. By the time the draft had completed, you had 9 selections. In round 1, you stay right there, number 6 overall. Element of surprise there from you and the entire scouting staff to Jamal Adams. A lot of people's number 1 overall prospect was sitting right there.
It was a little reminiscent of 2015 when we drafted Leonard Williams at the 6th pick. This year, when we did a lot of our pre-draft preparation work, we always kind of saw Jamal kind of going a little bit ahead of us. There's a few situations where he fell to us. So we really didn't expect that one to happen. We kind of thought somebody earlier on would have picked him up. We felt very fortunate and very lucky that that he fell to our spot. We were very excited to draft him at that point in time and think we got a good player for where we took him.
The New York Jets select Marcus May, defensive back, Florida.
Marcus May was a guy you guys targeted on day 2. When you draft a guy like May after taking Adams in the first round, do you envision how he's going to work together eventually with a guy like Adams?
Really, when Marcus came available in the second round, we felt very good about not only his ability as a player both on the field but also from an intangible standpoint. There's a lot of similarities we felt to a degree with Jamal. From that standpoint, but we thought they really complemented each other quite well. They're both very physical players. They're both very good tacklers. Marcus, played a little more at the post or, you know, safety position in college where he is at Florida. But we do think both those safeties will be interchangeable in Todd's defense, and that's really the way a lot of teams have to play their safeties today in the NFL. We both think they're good players, both versus a run and pass, and we'll complement each other well and add to a very, or make that position very competitive for us this coming fall.
In the third round, you talked about potentially even moving up, but you actually move back. You get a receiver, our Darius Stewart, out of Alabama. There's a familiar characteristic of all the guys I believe you drafted. And we come back to toughness. And our Darius Stewart screams toughness, doesn't he?
He fit, again, very much the type of players we're trying to add to this organization from a toughness standpoint, from a competitive standpoint. We thought he's a very good player and very good value for that position in the draft.
How about Chad Hansen in the 4th round out of Cal? He's a tremendous story, a guy who went to Idaho State. Then he was a walk-on at California, and then last year he was the Pac-12's most productive receiver.
Yeah, Chad was a player we liked quite a bit. Again, following the same kind of, same thing we do like all the other teams do. We do analyze these guys not just from a football standpoint, but from a character and personality standpoint. And again, another very competitive player, very passionate about football, very tough player. Again, very excited to get him where we got him in the draft from a value standpoint. I think it'll be another good addition to our young group of receivers that we feel good about going forward.
Back in Indianapolis, he said you'd like to add a pass-catching tight end for John Morton as he starts to install his new offense. In the 5th round, you grab Jordan Leggett out of Clemson. Now, what stood out to you about him?
We like him from a receiving standpoint. He's a big, athletic tight end with good catching radius and very good hands. We feel he'll be a good addition not only to the offense as a whole, but potentially in time as kind of a red zone threat. So he's, again, a player we felt good about in that point in time in the draft in terms of his upside, his potential, and then kind of value for that pick.
How important is special teams, especially once you get down the line, you take a guy out of West Georgia, Dylan Donahue, and then you come back and take Elijah McGuire from Lafayette?
With, you know, Dylan, you know, in the fifth round, we felt good about him. We kind of joked around, our scouts liked him. Kevin Green liked him quite a bit. We actually joked around and said Kevin would probably potentially adopt him because they're
tremendous motor guys.
Yeah, so I think that was an aspect of him that we really, you know, amongst his skill set, we really liked. So again, when you're taking a player like that who may have the potential to, you know, be a backup while he learns and develops and goes through the progression from going from an outside or from a defensive end to an outside linebacker, he definitely has the temperament and the mindset to contribute on special teams, but we also like him from an upside in terms of ability and potential as an outside linebacker. With McGuire in particular, again, another very well-rounded player in terms of not only being able to run the ball, but a good receiver out of the backfield and some ability as a returner. Again, we got him in the sixth round. We felt good about that from, again, you know, from an athletic potential standpoint.
We heard all along this was a talented cornerback class full of depth. How much do you like these guys that you added, the pair late in this draft, as developmental players? Because you look at them and you see the raw tools.
They're, you know, prototypical size in some cases. They're big, long corners. They have athletic ability. They have, you know, a lot of traits potentially to work with. I know Clark in particular had gotten off to a good start, although an injury cut his senior season short. And Jones is obviously a player who was a wide receiver in college. We liked him quite a bit when he came back and actually flipped over to corner. He played a little corner early in his career, but we saw some things there that we thought were intriguing qualities to work with. They have an upside and potential to develop. We're kind of excited to see what they can do.
Thanks, Mike.
Oh, anytime. Thank you.
Top three countdown. Top undrafted players in Jets history. Number one, Wayne Cravett.
Reason he wasn't drafted? I don't know. I don't know.
Bad scouting. Simple as that.
Cravett in the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown, New York Jets.
People didn't look at Wayne Cravett as a legitimate NFL threat.
Wayne didn't have great speed. He just didn't. He wasn't a guy that could run by you. But he could get open against anybody.
I think Wayne Cravett embodies the true underdog story and the guy that got overlooked for any number of different reasons. And teams always try to find a guy like that.
As tough as there is, could go over the middle, great slot receiver, had a knack of getting open, one of the best third down receivers you will ever find. He was, you know, such the ideal guy as far as kind of working the middle of the field, catching the balls, and always overachieving.
He got the absolute most out of what he did and understood it, but he was a smart football player. He knew how to beat you upstairs. He'd beat you mentally.
The one thing you cannot judge in a game of football is a man's heart, his will, and his skill to be great, and that was Wayne Cravett.
Stay tuned. Jet Life, the new class, continues after the break.
In front of the rocky steps, it's time to start the draft in 2017.
I had a chance to talk to General Manager Mike McCagnan. I asked him, all right, who are you picking at six?
Who will it be for the New York Jets?
With the sixth pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, the New York Jets select Jamal Adams.
Last name, Adams, A-D-A-M-S.
I think this is the second best football player in the draft.
This, oh, yeah, to me was a slam dunk.
I love the fact that he's going to the Big Apple.
Proud to be a Jet. I'm excited to get things going.
With the 39th pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, the New York Jets select Marcus May.
To be a part of, you know, the Jets family is definitely an honor.
Hey, Darius, this is Mike McCagnan. We're about to make you a Jet, okay?
Going out there, first NFL practice, you know, that's pretty surreal.
We're here at EMS Station 26, where the Jets' fifth-round selection.
The first West Georgia product to ever have been drafted in the National Football
League.
Ready to
go.
The fact that they believed in me, you know, it just makes you want to go hard for it.
Guys have a lot of heart. They love to play the ball game. They're smart. They're intelligent football players, and we're just trying to add them to the mix.